welcome back to Not a Single Bother with me, Aislinn Dowling. Hope everyone is well. What's the fucking story? Can I just say, I hope everyone in Ireland is actually living their best lives, because that is what it looks like to me on all my stories. And I'm actually delighted for ye. I'm looking at all the stories. I see people back in Ballyhigh down the Esk where I used to swim. It's actually unbelievable. It's like a fucking tropical island or something in the summertime. So loving that everyone at home is having such a fucking great time. Jealous because it's freezing here. But I'm like a mother or something when I'm looking at the stories. I'm like, God, she's not great now. God, with the tough year they had, isn't it lovely now? They have a bit of sunshine, like. But seriously, I'm actually buzzing for y'all at home. Anyways, just want to say thanks as well. I got such a good reaction to my last episode with Roberta Harrington, health, happiness, and overcoming an eating disorder. And it's funny because we didn't actually plan on, like, I had asked her to come on the podcast anyway, and I knew nothing about her suffering from bulimia a few years ago or anything like that. So it just turned into kind of just talking about that, which was amazing. Like, such a good topic to chat about, and it really needs to be talked about more. And obviously people are interested in the topic as well, because it's one of my fastest growing episodes as well. So thanks so much to Roberta again, and if you haven't listened, definitely worth listening to. So, oh yeah, what else do I have to say? What was I going to say? Oh yeah, so back in the podcast charts. So I am. Not a Single Bother is back in the podcast charts. So I'm buzzing. Just got an email there during the week. Well, I was back in the podcast charts anyway. How long did that last? We're probably out of them now. But sure, look, lads. We'll take the wins as they're coming. Do you know what I mean? Number 151 in the Irish comedy podcast chart. So I'm delighted. Like, I know that sounds like, why is she happy about 151? Lads, I'm happy to be in it, full stop. Do you know what I mean? I'm delighted with that. Just to be in them, like, because that category includes international podcasts. You know what I mean? It's not just Irish ones. So even to be in it at all is amazing. And I just want to say thank you to everyone that rates me and leaves me a review on Apple Podcasts. Like, I know I'm always harping on about it in every episode, but like, that just goes to show how much a difference it makes, you know? So keep it coming, lads, please. Thanks. It makes me very happy. And then on this week's episode, I am chatting with Pamela Joyce. Some of you might know her from Today FM. She is a presenter on Today FM. She is only recently, in the last like 2 months, I think, last month, June, she now presents her own evening show between Sunday to Thursdays, I think. Jesus, let me double check. I think it's Sunday to Thursdays, yeah, in the evening, 7 to 10, I'm pretty sure. She originally started off doing Irish Mammy skit videos. I remember her on Facebook, you know, back in the day now, before Instagram was huge. She used to post skit videos on Facebook, and I remember her from that, like, and she was hilarious. And then she did like Irish blogger ones, just loads of different skit ones, but her main thing, I suppose, or what she initially did, there's always a motorbike driving past when I'm doing this, anyways, what she initially did was the Irish Mammy ones. But that kind of started her off, I suppose, on her journey to where she is now. But she's hilarious. She's always on Dermot and Dave as well, doing the Cardi B skits. She's fucking gas. So delighted, so I am, to have her on with me. And yeah, she may as well go straight into it. And as always, as I said already, leave me a review, rate me, and thank you so much for listening. And I hope you enjoy the episode with Pamela Joyce. Welcome to Not a Single Bother. Thank you so much for taking the time to chat with me. How are you getting on with normal life at home?
It's normal-ish. Normal-ish. I mean, I'm a regular in the pub, which is good. And I suppose the best thing is now that I can go home to Galway whenever I want, and not be like, oh, I can't another day until I get home. And it does feel very normal in comparison to, say, this time last year or even this time 2 or 3 months ago, where, you know, like, when I leave work in the evenings, there's people sitting outside having drinks and dinner and things like that. So yeah. It's great. It's just, I suppose, after the summer when it gets too rainy and cold to eat outside. I'm not vaccinated, so I don't know if I'll be able to eat inside until bloody September or October. But other than that, I'm pretty happy, I have to say. I've been going into work the whole time, so it hasn't felt that alien to me.
Yeah.
Because my 3 housemates now are all working at home. So for them, obviously, it's much more different, but I've been able to go into work the whole time, which has been a godsend.
Yeah. It seems when I'm looking at people's stories, it seems like it's more or less, I mean, compared to what you had anyway, nobody's sitting at home anymore. Like, there seems to be crack about the place.
Exactly. You can go for a few drinks or you can go for a bite to eat and then come home, which is just, it's made such a difference, because, like, there was probably 6 months where you'd get to a Friday and be like, oh, great, it's Friday. And then you just sit in the house with the same people drinking the same bottle of rosé, looking at each other, being like, great, is this it? But at least now you can go out and socialise and you can meet new people, and it's we're definitely getting there.
Yeah. Hopefully onwards and upwards.
Exactly.
So everybody knows you now as Today FM radio presenter, and they also know you probably from your hilarious skits. But rewind it back for me and just tell me a little bit about yourself and what led you to where you are now.
Absolutely. So I'm Pamela. I'm 28 years old. And when people bring up the skits and the Facebook videos I used to do, I actually like go bright red.
Do you? I loved them.
Oh, I hate it.
Oh my god, no, I love them. Like,
I just get so embarrassed about them, but I don't regret doing them, because it got me to where I am. I suppose it caught people's attention and it gave me a bit of a confidence boost to be like, oh, maybe I am actually funny, not just to my friends. So I suppose I started out doing those videos. I was living in Spain at the time.
Oh, really?
And I had no idea what I was doing in my life. I just finished college. And I was like, maybe I'll be a teacher. So I moved to Spain for a year to see if I liked teaching. And, like, it was grand, but I knew it wasn't going to be my full career. So I was like, I'll throw a video up on Facebook and see what happens. And it kind of just took off. And I was like, whoa, okay, this is overwhelming. And then it did. The first few were a lot of fun. It was good crack, and it was starting to gain traction. And then it got to a point where I felt a lot of pressure about it.
Really?
Because it was like, because it was kind of bigger than I'd anticipated it getting. Not that it was massive, but it was bigger than I had anticipated it getting. And I get really stressed being like, oh, that's not funny enough. Whereas before, I'd just throw it up.
Yeah.
And so I think I kind of stepped away from them a little bit, just because I didn't have the confidence that I have now. I was maybe 24.
Right, yeah.
And I was a bit like, oh, no, I don't know. I don't like if I like being in the public eye or people throwing opinions out there of me. So I kind of stepped away from that, and I was like, maybe I'll get into radio. So I did an internship with the station called iRadio in the Midlands, and from there it all kind of just took off. The second I started working radio, I was like, oh my god, I love it. And it never really been on my mind before, but I just loved it. So I went from there to a Dublin station, and then I did a master's in broadcast production, and then I actually did my placement for my master's into the FM, and just haven't let me leave yet since.
Unreal. That's class.
Yeah.
So it all kind
of... Yeah, it's good.
So you started off, I suppose, for anybody that doesn't know, what were the skits that you were doing on Facebook?
So I suppose Irish Mammy was probably the biggest one, because I know everyone thinks their mam is the biggest Irish mam, but I'm quite confident that my mother, well, it truly is. She's a fine Mayo woman. And some of the things she says, you're just like, oh God. So I would have started doing like Irish Mammy impressions. And I did some of them, actually ended up going on the RT player and stuff, which was great as well.
Unreal.
And then, I think I did some blogger ones. It was just when being a blogger was really becoming a thing.
Yeah, I remember
and
those ones.
I kind of pulled the piss out of a few of them, and I'm still in the bad books. Some of them. Still blocked on Instagram from a few of them.
No, are you actually?
Yeah.
Jesus. Yeah. Talk about not being able to take a joke.
Exactly. I think I'll survive anyway, not looking at Instagram, so I'll be okay.
That is hilarious.
Yeah.
No, they were...
Drama.
Drama, girl.
Yeah.
No, they were very good, though. The Irish Mammy ones were... Do you know, you just had everything to a T. Was your mom anyway...
Thank you very much.
Was your mom anyway, like, offended when you started doing them?
I think at the beginning she was a bit like, oh, you're laughing at me.
Yeah.
And then people would always... be like, oh, Kitty's a legend, we love Kitty, and now she eats it up. Yeah, she is a bit like, anytime we're in the house at home now, if I'm taking a photo of us or a video or anything, she's like, yeah, don't put that on Instagram. I'm like, get over yourself. Yeah. Put you everywhere. But there is a couple of times where, like, I'll throw her up sneakily.
Yeah.
And I've been caught out a few times, I think. Someone in a pharmacy in Galway recognised her, being like, oh, you're Pamela's mum, I know you're from Instagram.
That's,
and I
was so,
like,
funny.
Shut up. No, you don't.
That is gas. My mom,
no,
is
she
the
doesn't
same.
She loves it.
Yeah, my mom's the same. Like, I'd be taking the piss out of her. I put her on my Instagram one time. Like, do you know the way, like, they just are funny. Whether they mean to be,
yeah,
or not, they just are. But she'd always be cutting the back off my outfits and stuff. She doesn't do it anymore now. I think she's afraid of doing it. So she would text me and she'd be like, this big paragraph about what I was wearing, whether it was bad or good. Most of the time, bad in her eyes anyway. I saw one time I screenshotted them, and there was loads of them, and I just put them up on my stories, and then I made a highlight, and I was like, if anyone wants a laugh, like, here's my mom absolutely cutting the back off all of my outfits. Lads, if she nearly killed me. Like, she was like, can we not have a private conversation? But she thinks I'm taking the piss out of her, but I'm not. Like, we're laughing.
But you're taking the piss out of yourself, being like, this is what mom thinks.
Yeah.
Do you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And I think, no, mom has definitely come around. She enjoys it now, so.
Yeah, yeah. You have to.
I'm not in trouble anymore anyway.
What was your first job in radio, did you say?
I was an intern in iRadio. So nice. I was kind of just looking after prizes and doing all the little jobs that needed to be done. So I had been living in Galway at the time, working in car insurance. And I moved up to Athlone. Yeah.
Right.
I moved to Athlone, which was not the best. No offence to Athlone, but, like, you know. And it wasn't paid, so I had to go on the dole to do the job. And I was like, great, I have €100 a week. Perfect. I live in Athlone, what am I going to do? So I think it actually worked out for the best, because I lived out by the station, not really in the town. So I had no money to go anywhere. The bus stopped going at 6 o'clock. So I used to go into work at like 10 o'clock in the morning, not leave until midnight. And I just learned so much.
Yeah.
And everyone was so lovely and just taught me everything. And I went from doing little bits around the office, making phone calls and that, to like doing stuff on air, doing research and stuff, and making quizzes. And then eventually I started going on air. And I learned so much there. So it was brilliant.
Yeah. That's kind of what it takes, really. Like, there is a lot of graft before you actually get to ever being on air.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
See, that's the frustrating thing sometimes, is that I'm a divil now for going on boards.ie and reading what people say.
Right.
And I'm just like, sometimes I'm like, yeah, I'll have a read. And some of them are just like, a lot of them are, you know, for the likes of myself or Dear and Gary here or anything like that. They're saying like, oh, you know, stations are now just putting social media influencers on and blah, 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 because they just see that side of it. I'm like, no, I've been grafting really, really hard for 5 years. So not that their opinion matters to me, but it's just frustrating that, particularly in radio, you don't, listeners and people like that don't see the behind the scenes stuff. They only become aware of you once you start doing the on-air stuff.
Yeah.
But I suppose the people that matter, my employer and my co-workers and stuff, they all know how hard I work, and that's all that matters to me.
Exactly. Yeah, that's all. You'll have the begrudgers anywhere you go, and everyone have them. So
yeah. No matter what you do, yeah.
Exactly, yeah. What were the nerves like before you did your first ever on air show?
So I was such an anxious person, and it's only looking back now.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what was wrong with me? Like, the first so I did my first on air show in iRadio. I used to do Sundays.
Okay.
And I used to print out my show the week before, so I'd have all my songs and I'd print them out, and I'd sit at the computer at home and I'd literally write out word for word what I was going to say in every link, and just be so nervous just to make sure I wouldn't mess it up or say anything wrong. And I did that for so long, and I'd listen back and I'd be like, absolutely no personality there, but of course there's not, because you've typed out what you're going to say.
Yeah.
But you need that in the beginning, you know, just to the confidence, because
of course
there's times even now where I put the microphone up and the song stops and I'm like, what am I going to say? Sometimes you just need to have a rough outline of what you're going to say. So like, for big things now, I do the same thing. I'll do bullet points or whatever. But I was so very, it's only probably in the last year that I've stopped being nervous for every single show that I do. And that just comes with practice. And
definitely.
I'm very lucky that the Today FM listeners are so lovely and so nice and so supportive that, look, everyone makes mistakes and things. Thankfully, I've never cursed on air or liable to anyone or got a lawsuit against me, but
yes.
Your confidence grows. Like, even every 2 or 3 months, I'm like, God, I'm far more confident than I was this time 3 months ago. Do you know? Yeah. And it just takes practice. It's like any job, do you know?
Yeah, 100%.
If you practice it and back yourself a little bit, you'll get there.
Definitely, yeah. I was even the same when I started doing it. Like, my very first interview, I, like, had my questions, like, for hours and hours. I was like, oh my God, I'm gonna have to do a nervous poo, like, was reading
it. Yeah, absolutely.
And had, yeah. Like, every detail,
like,
of
time this.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'd get into the station like 6 hours before the show, and it was like, calm down.
Honestly, but
like,
yeah.
And it's so funny because it's just talking. We do it every single day.
Exactly. It's just a conversation.
It's when you're like, yeah, but when you're like, people are listening to me, oh God. And like, I'd say for you as well, it was a thing of like, I have my questions and I'm not going to deviate.
Yeah.
And you probably, I know when I did my first few interviews as well, I'd ask a question and not listen to what they say because I was reading the next question.
Exactly,
and they could have said,
yeah,
something really good you could pick up on.
Yeah.
But you're like, nope, that's done. This is my next question.
Yeah,
I'm
yeah, yeah.
This. So you know yourself, like, in time, it comes.
Mm-hmm, 100%. You said you wanted to be an on-air presenter on Today FM before you reached the age of 30. And you have obviously succeeded in doing so a little earlier than you planned. So congratulations are in order.
Thank you very much. That's so kind.
You have recently landed your own evening show from Sunday to Thursdays. Yeah. 7 to 10.
Indeed.
Mm. You must be delighted. But what can people expect when they tune in to you on Sundays to Thursdays?
Oh, that's a great question. bit of this, bit of that. It's very much... Particularly for, I suppose, the tune in Australia, it'll be different because it'll be late night. But for Ireland, it's very much early morning in Australia.
Early morning,
for Ireland, it's very much, you know, it's the end of your day. I'm not going to bombard you with too much talk and chat. That's what I say. I end up doing that quite a lot. It's just, what I love about the show is that it's a mixture of old music. So, like, I would mark myself as a bit of a connoisseur of, like, 2000s R&B and pop.
Right.
So there's a lot of that in there, like,
love.
Christina Milian, Sierra, and then you go Britney, Christina Aguilera, a lot of boy bands in there. And then you also have some new music. You're going to get some, like, kind of mid-noughties music as well, which I love. It's very much a music-heavy show.
Right.
And then, of course, you'll have the trials and tribulations of my life.
Mm.
Because even over the weekend, I went surfing in Donegal, and I had the most gorgeous Belgian surf instructor.
Oh.
So there I was, wearing a wetsuit, not great in anyone, let alone me. And we all got into the water anyway, and my friends, like that, they were able to take off. I couldn't even get onto the board. Not even stand up. I couldn't get onto the board to start paddling. So I was like, right, okay, this isn't going very well. I got there in the end, but it took me a good half an hour, and the instructor was like, oh, this poor girl. And they were all like, flying ahead of me, standing up on the board, and I was like, I'm just gonna paddle out here, it's fine. But yeah, no, the show is great crack. I really, really like it. And it's funny, it's only been a month, I think this is week 5.
Yeah.
And it just, I feel so settled already. It's
do
mad.
You? That's brilliant.
Yeah.
Do you get to kind of, is it you that chooses what kind of music's on and everything like that? It's all down to you? Or...
Yeah, so obviously there is regulations in place with the Broadcasting Authority of Ireland. You have to have X amount of Irish music and X amount of current affairs, and so you have to have your news and this, that, and the other.
Yeah.
But I would have a pretty chunky input in the playlist, and you can definitely see that.
That's good, though.
They're like, oh, Britney Spears and Westlife again.
My faves.
You see?
Yeah, exactly. How did you feel about switching from your morning slot to the evening slot then? Was it a massive change?
It is a huge... Well, it is and it isn't. Like, it's funny because when I did the first maybe week of the show, so I used to do 5 a.m. to 7 a.m. And then I'd have my whole day to myself, whereas now I have my whole day to myself and then I do 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. So I remember the first few nights when I got home from doing the show at about 10:30, we'd be sitting watching Love Island or chilling or whatever, and I'm like, oh my God, I have to go to bed, it's 11:10.
Yeah.
It's like, you don't have to be anywhere until 7 o'clock tomorrow. You can go drive whatever time you want it.
Yeah.
Whereas when I was going with doing the early mornings, once it got to about 7 o'clock, I'd be stressed, being like, right, you have to start winding down now and going to bed. And I suppose I still have the same free time in my day. That's the good thing about both of them, is that I'm not a 9 to 5. I have, you know, I get up at 9:30 now and I don't go to work until 5. So I can do all my bits.
You
and
go
same
in
with
at,
early breakfast. I used to,
you go in at 5.
At 5, yeah. Yeah. And with early breakfast, I used to work from 5 to 7, come home, have a nap, and then I'd have the whole day to myself. But I'm a terrible sleeper. So I'd only get about 3 hours before the show.
Right, okay.
And then I'd probably do 3 or 4 afterwards, and you're just groggy, and then I wasn't getting up until 1 o'clock, and you know,
yeah,
it's the first few months is fine because you're like, oh, this is great, but it is tough, particularly now when things are reopening. You know, it'll be crap. It's always the case that like they'd be going for pints on a Wednesday at 7 o'clock, and I'm like, oh, I can't go. No, I can't go now anyway because I'm working. But it was a bit like, oh, I could go, but then I'd be in the horrors tomorrow,
yeah,
and
yeah,
I was just exhausted all the time, and at the weekends then I'd just be catching up on my sleep.
Exactly.
But I really did love the mornings. I'm lucky in the sense that once I'm up, I'm up.
Mm.
You know, there's no snoozing, or I just would be like, okay, let's go up, and like my alarm would go off and I'd be like, oh, and I'm like, oh no, I get to go and do the show. But the listeners are so nice in the morning. It's very, very different pace in the morning. You're kind of setting everyone up in the morning. Whereas now I'm kind of trying to wind everyone down.
Relaxing.
And just kind of, but yeah, it actually it's been less of a shock to the system than I thought it would be adapted to, I think.
That's
and
good.
Now I do, like, obviously I miss when I go into the office in the evening now, there's far fewer people there.
I was gonna say, yeah,
so like, yeah, so there'll be the odd person around until maybe 6 o'clock, and then it gets very quiet, whereas in the morning it was the opposite. It'd be very quiet for the first hour, and then everyone would start coming in at 6.
Yeah,
so but it is good as well to work with different people. So obviously the morning people aren't there anymore when I go in the evening, but it's nice to work with different people. And the odd time I'll do stuff on with Ian Dempsey on his show, or Dermot and Dave, so I do get to see everyone.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
Are you as chatty outside of work as you are inside of work, or do you find that like do you find you want other people to do the talking, seeing as that's what you do for a living?
No, I don't think so. And that with my family, definitely. I'd say I get a bit tetchy in the evenings. Like if I come down, I finish work on a Thursday, so if I get out to go away for the weekend, and they're all like, and how's this? And how's that? And I'm like, oh my gosh, I literally talk all day.
Yeah.
Please, give me a second.
Give me a fucking break.
But they just want to know about my life, like, you know. But no, I think I'd definitely be the loud one anyway in the group, which is hard because my group of friends are very loud.
Really?
So, yeah. But I think, I'd be fairly still quite chatty.
Yeah.
What I would have been far shyer socially before I started working on radio.
Really?
If I didn't know them, I'd be very, very quiet and reserved. Whereas now, I'm like, shut up, get me a drink.
Yeah. It's brought out your confidence, so big time. That's good.
Definitely, yeah. I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing.
Yeah.
Good thing for me, bad thing for them.
Yeah. And Pamela, you've spoken publicly about your struggles with your mental health, and fair play to you for talking about that so openly.
Thank you.
Has your experience with your mental health been like, particularly over the last year? And what do you do to help yourself?
It's weird, yeah. What do I do? I suppose the first 3 months or so of lockdown, maybe 2 months, I was a bit like, I was kind of okay because we didn't know how long it was going to go on. And I was just like, oh, this is gas. I'm stuck up in Dublin and all my family's in Galway now. I'm very lucky that I live with 3 of my best friends. So it didn't, you know, I didn't feel isolated or anything like that. And like I said, I was able to go into work the whole time. And then about 4 months in, we were able to go home for the summer, which was grand. So that was all fine. I think I found the hardest part from, I think, maybe November of last year up until what we could travel home in May, I think.
Right.
So I got to go home for 2 weeks of Christmas and then came back up to Dublin and wasn't able to go back for the 5 months.
Yeah.
And I think that was the hardest because it was cold and it was winter and it was dark. And it was just like, oh, I've done all this before. I'm sick of it. Like, I never spent that much time in Dublin. I'd be one of those who always goes home for the weekend. And it's been good to actually figure out where I live and know what's beside me because I had no idea before. But I think I found from Christmas to May quite difficult, and I was very down on myself, and I'd say my housemates definitely noticed it because I would go for my nap after work and get up and have something to eat and potter around the house for a bit, and then from 4 o'clock I'd go up to my room and just close the curtains and lock the door and just watch Drag Race or just sit in my bed, and I just would have no interest in talking to anyone or anything. I just wanted to be in my own little space.
Yeah.
And I thought that was just me being tired, but looking back I'm like, oh no, girl, you were depressed, girl. So yeah, so you need to sort that out. But I think I've changed a few things now, obviously, and I'm not saying that it was work, it wasn't, but I think lack of sleep, anyone's going to be sad and down to themselves, and with the winter months and stuff and not being able to see your family, but all that has changed now, thank God. And I think it was about, was it March maybe? It just called my GP and was like, look, I'm not sure if I'm just being dramatic or if everyone's feeling this way because of lockdown.
Yeah.
And she was like, nope, that's totally normal. Don't worry about it. But she referred me to a psychotherapist, and I went there twice and chatted it all out, and I've never been better.
Yeah.
You know? Mm. It's just so funny, and it's really hard when you're in it to remember that it's not always going to be that crap.
Oh my gosh.
And it's really hard to remember that it's fine, you're going to feel shy for a few months.
Mm.
And then you'll be absolutely fine, and you'll look back and be like, oh, that's so sad. I was really down on myself and couldn't see the end of it. But once you're out of it, you really relish, you know, how free you were and how happy you were. And you're like, I need to remember that this feeling will come back next time that I'm feeling low.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I think that's the hardest part about it. So I think I always try to just, I did a bit of meditation and my mind is constantly racing. And everyone's like, that's exactly why you need to meditate. But I'm like, I'm meditating and I'm thinking about, where's my passport?
I did
What's
the
my
same.
PBS number? And do I need to get a prescription for the pill? What's going on? So I'm just, my mind is constantly racing.
Yeah.
So I just tried to do things that I'd like. And even for myself, when I would lock myself in my bedroom, that's what I needed. And it wasn't me being, you know, I'm so down on myself and dramatic. I just, being around people, even my three best friends downstairs, it made me anxious.
Yeah.
And I just needed to shut myself off for a few weeks and do that. And then I called the doctor and looked after myself. And since then, it's been grand. So if anyone is ever going through anything, don't feel like, I know the whole thing, it's okay to be okay. But check in with your GP or talk to someone who you know who's been through it. Because, yeah, everyone has been feeling crap because of the circumstance. But there are a few other things that would indicate that maybe it's not just lockdown that's affecting you, and there's other things going on. So there's no shame in calling the GP. Like, I was so nervous. I had notes written down of everything to say to her, and she was so lovely about it.
Oh, yeah.
So I would say just make the call and see what happens.
Yeah, 100%. I completely agree with you. Like, I had to do that before myself, and I'm so anxious to do it and so nervous, like, to even go to the counsellor and sit down. Like, I remember the first time I went to her, I think all I did, to be honest, was cry the whole time.
Yeah.
And she was probably like, what are you saying? I can't actually hear you through all the tears.
Yeah, I can't work through anything if you're crying.
And I kept being like, I'm so sorry for all the crying, but it was just like, it was obviously just an overwhelming,
it's a release.
Yeah, exactly. And it was just an overwhelming experience, and you're talking to someone that you don't know, but it was the best thing I ever did, honestly.
That's the thing. And like, I don't know that we particularly resolved anything. I don't know that there was even anything massive that came up that we were like, okay, that's a trauma from your childhood. But it was just the release of getting it out.
Mm-hmm.
But like, we would just talk about anything. And I walk away from it and I was like, oh my God, I feel 2 stone lighter.
Yeah.
Having just had a conversation. And it's weird to open up to someone you don't know, but it's also really freeing because they don't know you from Adam. You can say what you want.
Yeah.
And they're not going to say it back to anyone.
Exactly. It's different gravy when you're talking to somebody that you don't know, but in a good way, even though that can be the scary part initially, because you're like, imagine talking to a stranger, but it's the best thing. So you're obviously such a bubbly person, and being in the media and on the radio, you are essentially given the responsibility to kind of put everyone in a good mood. Does that make it harder to break down that front then and to talk to people about how you're feeling, like when you're down? Did you have that kind of a thing in your head?
I think I'm very conscious. I was, should I say, very conscious of how I was perceived by people. And I kind of always wanted to keep a barrier between my life and my work life.
Yeah.
But basically, I'm Beyonce. No one knows too much about me. This is my career. That's all you can know. But as it's gone on, I've been more comfortable around people. And I think the conversation around, you know, mental health and depression and anxiety has really opened up, and I was just like, you know what, it's part of who I am, so I'm not going to be embarrassed about it or, you know, shy away from it or pretend it doesn't exist. And I think it actually has helped people. I know when that an article that I did for the Irish Examiner came out, I got a few messages from people being like, oh my God, I never would have known, you know, you're so bubbly at work. It's nice to know that people, there's other people out there who are suffering, and that like, for them, for example, they would have been the same. They would have put on a face when it in public, and then they come home and be really, really sad. So they were glad to know it wasn't just them, kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm not being like, I saved so many people and I'm amazing and I help everyone, but you know, it's not something. No, I definitely would have, I think particularly as well, because my mum would be very Irish Catholic. Depression doesn't exist. She would have been a few years ago, you know. Just, oh, that's on your head, you're fine. And
I'm like, yeah, you're great.
That's literally the problem. But so I think I would have been very embarrassed about it, I suppose, before, just because that's the way she was brought up, so that's the way I was brought up.
Mm-hmm.
But now I think there's a far more open conversation about it, and people are willing to just be like, look, most people will go through this in their lives. Let's just talk about it.
Yeah. Yeah, because I was actually only talking about this the other day in another interview I was doing. We were actually talking about eating disorders and touching on mental health and all that, but it was, we were talking about coming out with it and why we were afraid to, and her reason for being so hesitant was the same as that, like, because you're known as kind of a bubbly person, that you're kind of like, oh, I don't want people to think that I'm not that anymore. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
That I'm fake. Yeah, that's not fake. That's still me.
Yeah.
But there's just two sides of it.
Exactly, yeah. Because, yeah. Do you know, it comes with kind of a label as well at times, that like...
Mm.
When people hear that you're down, they're like, oh, she's not the bright, positive, bubbly person anymore. She's actually the depressed person.
Yeah, that's fake. And you're kind of like, is that going to follow me around forever now?
Literally, but, yeah. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't.
If it does, it does.
Mm.
But even if it does, like, it's part of my life.
Exactly, yeah.
Get over it.
Yeah. So, so obviously everyone has had a very tough year. And as you were saying earlier, you've been working the whole time through it.
Yeah.
Through COVID and everything. Did you feel a kind of... Was it weird, like, working and being on the radio? And as I said, naturally, you're kind of have to be like, hello, morning, everyone. How are you doing? Was that weird for you?
So the first few months were definitely weird because there was just such a noticeable difference in the office.
Yeah.
The screens were up and everyone had moved tables and they moved all the desks. And it was just a bit like, oh, this is weird. And so when the first started, I would have been on the weekends.
Mm.
And there'd be loads of texts coming in being like, oh, you know, thanks so much for keeping us sane and radio is so important to us now, this, that, and the other. And as a station, we kind of made a conscious decision to just not talk about COVID as much as we could. Obviously, in the news, they'd obviously have it. And if there's an important announcement, obviously. But we kind of said, you know what? It's everywhere else. If you're online, you're looking at it. If you're watching the news, you're looking at it. Let's try and have a space where people... don't hear about it all the time and don't talk about it all the time. And I think that really, really helped.
Mm.
It kind of was like a little escape to go into the studio for 3 hours and just not talk about it and talk shite and kind of actually forget that it was a thing.
Yeah.
And the amount of messages that come into the station across the day, like just being like, you know, you've been so good to us. And for a lot of people, like the one that kills me, I'm like, oh my God, that's so cute, is people who are working from home or might be working from home on their own. They say that the Today FM presenters are their colleagues now because they're on in the background all the time. Aww. And they feel like they're having the crack with them. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to cry.
Oh, that's really
so And I think, as much as, you know, we have been a source of comfort for them, they've been the same for us to go in and just be like, oh, I'm just having the crack with people and the texts that come in and stuff. It's been really, really lovely. So I think it's definitely even solidified even more how much I love radio and how important it is.
Yeah. Because... I think that's good though that you didn't talk about it, because I remember even when I'd be on the phone to mom and dad, all they talk about is COVID, and they were even saying to me, why don't you do an episode now in the podcast about talking about COVID in Australia? I was like, mom, do you honestly think now that people listen to my podcast?
No one wants to listen to that.
Yeah, like, what?
Like,
why would
you hear all day, every day? You're like, that's the opposite of what we need.
Literally, I was like, you need to stop looking at the news. Like, please, there are other things around the world. You're actually going to drive yourselves
absolutely
insane. So,
and like, even in the papers in the morning, like when I was doing breakfast, I don't know if it was like exacerbated by COVID or something, but like, it was just... death and destruction and bad news and this, that and the other for like 4 months, and it was like, Jesus. Whereas now I think it's come back around, and I think as Irish people as well, particularly, we love feeding into being like shite, and we love bad news for whatever reason. We just do.
Horrible.
So you'd be like, oh, did you see so and so died? I'd be like, oh, this happened, and you're like, oh my God. Whereas like, if you see something in the paper as an Irish person being like, oh, this is a really nice story about a puppy with one leg who saved the world, you'd be like, oh, that rubbish.
Yeah,
give me the trees, you know. Yeah, so I think there was a period where Irish people actually quite fed into it and we nearly relished it, but I think now we're definitely coming out the other side and it's more noticeable in people. And obviously you'll have texters and listeners and whatever who don't like what you do and who do like what you do, but there's more people going out of their way now to just send a text to be like, hey, I really love what you do, thanks.
Oh,
and I think
so
it's
nice.
Made people nicer people.
Yeah. So you're not just behind the microphone all the time, you also do your bit on screen over on RTE Player with Carol Mullen and Get My Shit Together. What is the show all about, and where else have you been showing your face on screen?
So, Get My Shit Together, we filmed it in November. It was very, very quick from like the concept being born to wrapping filming. I think it was like 3 weeks.
So
it was very, very quick. Yeah, it was mental. And I was on early breakfast at the time, so I'd be up at 4:30, go in, do the show, leave, and then film until 6 or 7 that evening. I was like, it actually didn't, it was such a good crack. Basically, we decided in November, right, let's put something out in January for people who, and for everyone who kind of just feels a bit shy, who feels like they've lost their way, who feels like they don't really have it's anything propelling them forward. They're literally just getting through day by day, waking up, doing work, watching telly, going to bed, waking up, doing work. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it was, I feel a lot of people maybe lost their identities, because if you played sports, that would have been a lot of who you were.
Yeah.
You couldn't do that anymore. If you, I don't know, did anything else, if you performed, if you did anything like that, you couldn't do that anymore. And it was kind of just the thing about getting back to yourself, so little things you could do to make yourself feel better. So we did 3 episodes on that, and it was so much fun to do. We got to go out to the DSPCA, and I got to play with a lot of puppies.
Aww.
And yeah, we went for a hike, and we did cycles, and it was really, really good fun. And actually, after filming it, I was like, oh god, it's great to get out and do stuff again.
Yeah.
So we did that this year. Then I think it was maybe end of October 2019, Influence came out, which I think is my favorite one I worked on. I did 4 episodes on kind of celebrity trends, where I had to try them out.
Yeah.
So we did me trying to get Kim Kardashian's body via like a corset and hip pads, and I met up with a drag queen, and she taught me how to pad and do all of that, and it was extremely uncomfortable. I did Cardi B's nails.
Oh my god.
Which was like, these are my nails now.
Yeah.
All the slack is picked up, and that one's too long for me. So imagine me with Cardi B's nails. I think
they're mine as well, by the way. Like, all, like, I have gels on now, but naturally down to the fucking base.
Yeah, the knob, like, and I'm just like, no, that's too long, get rid of that one. So I think we literally did all the filming in maybe 12 hours, and I went straight back into the salon. I was like, take them off. The girl was like, it's just that it took me 2 hours to do them yesterday. Why are you taking them off? And I was like, I can't, I'm sorry. We did a load of Gwyneth Paltrow's Goop products.
Her what products?
Like, Goop, you know, the website she has where it's all like vagina candles and God knows what else. So that was actually sold out, so we couldn't try that one, unfortunately.
No, unfortunately.
But we tried loads of different ones, like a rose quartz bottle that's supposed to make you feel energized. Garbage. They're all still in the bag under my bed.
Just all bullshit.
And then, yeah, bullshit. And then I did Ariana Grande's hair as well, which again was
pain in
the head. Obviously my hair is gorgeous, so I don't need any help with that. But I had a big, massive, huge ponytail stuff to my head for the day that was just like yanking all the time.
I'd say you must have had a headache after that.
Yeah. I had to try and sleep in and everything. It was just but that one was really, really fun to make as well, so I love that one. And then I do other bits. I do a bit on TV for like Ireland AM doing Love Island reports, and I did bits and expose before that disappeared, a bit like that. Yeah, so I think I would like to get into TV a bit more, but for now I'm going to focus on the new show and radio and see what the crack is.
I was just about to say, how do you find it compared to radio? Or do you prefer? Are you?
It's funny because I think I'm definitely more of a radio person, and and in theory it's the same thing. Like, you're still just talking, just they can see you.
Yeah.
But all of a sudden, the second they say go or whatever, you're on air, I'm just like, how do I sit with my body? I'm like, how do I sit naturally? I just have no idea what to do with myself.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, yeah, that's great, thanks so much. And just because your body is awkward, you become awkward.
I think
again, in time that will come. I'm obviously very conscious as well. I'm like, how do I look? Whereas on radio, this is how I will look like.
Yeah.
And you can kind of fake it and be like, oh, I look absolutely gorgeous. But it is quite different, and it's far more intimidating. So like for me, when I go into the radio studio, it's just myself and the microphone and 10,000 buttons, which is fine. But and you get used to it when you go into a TV studio, and there's 3 camera operators, and there's a floor manager, and then there's a director and a whole gallery of people you can't even see, and there's people doing microphones, and you're just like, you're all looking at me. It's like, yeah, no, you're going to be on TV, there's going to be more people looking at you. Just far more conscious. You're far more conscious of the setup. And
intimidating, like, yeah.
Looking like a fool. Yeah.
But you'd like to do a little bit more TV in the future, some kind of...
I think so. I think it would need to be the right project. My dream now would be to be the host of a TV quiz show.
A TV quiz show?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Now, actually, I say that, but I'd ask the question and be like, I know. You're the presenter. You get to answer that. Like, but I know the answer.
Oh, my God. That'd be unreal. So, RTE, if you're listening. Yeah.
Exactly. TV quiz show.
Yeah.
Go for it.
So you're also very well known for your hilarious Cardi B skits, and I'm sure most people will know them, that you do them with Dermot and Dave. But where did you come up with the idea for them, and how do you write them?
I think myself and Sean, I used to work on the show, we're massive Cardi B fans, and right. I think I was helping out on the show one day, and her song of Maroon 5 had just come out. And me and Sean were just rapping in the office, whatever, having the crack. And one of the lads was like, come on, do it on the radio. And we're like, okay. We went in and did it. And then I actually don't even know where it came from. So Dermot does a character called Noni, this woman from Limerick. And he was like, look, well, we could try and do something with Cardi B and see what the crack is. And I was like, all right. So he was like, whatever you want to do. And I was like, well, I'll see if I can put something together and write something. And I've always liked writing, and I was always good at it in school, if you should do poems or anything like that. I always really, really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
And it just kind of took off. I just kind of did the first one. I was very nervous about the first one. And it just absolutely blew up. It was huge. I was like, oh, Jesus, okay, people like this.
Yeah.
And it's so much fun to do, but I just need her to release more songs. Yeah. And then we can do more of them. So I think we've done maybe 4 or 5 at this stage, and they've all been so much fun.
You're brilliant at them, though. Anytime.
Thank you very much.
You're a lyrical genius, girl.
Thank you. Well, I think it helps because I always know her songs so well.
Yeah.
But when I'm writing, I know the way the beat is and the way the lyrics need to fall, and I know what needs to fit in. But for whatever, I've always been able to rhyme quite easily.
Oh, right, okay.
Maybe I should be a freestyle rapper, maybe.
Maybe.
Or if it doesn't work out.
I was going to say, maybe you should write Cardi B a song and she'll release it, so... I don't know, who knows?
You never know.
You never know, girl.
You just never know.
That's your next venture now.
Yeah, probably.
So you must have so much crack all the time in, like, at work. Does it ever, like, it probably doesn't even feel like work, does it?
That's the thing. It's like, sometimes I'll be like, at like 4:30, I'm like, oh, I should go to work. I'm like, I have the dream job. I go in and I prep the show, and then I sit in a chair for 3 hours and I play music. Yeah. And I talk every now and then, and I have the crack with listeners, and I do this, that, and the other. Like, it's so fun. Now, obviously, now it's different because not everyone's in the office. It's pretty much just the production teams and the presenters. But pre-pandemic, it was like, it's so funny because News Talk is the floor below us.
Mm.
So that's where all the news readers and the journalists and the News Talk people would be. So if you walk down there, it's very calm, and it's like an office, and it's very serious, and this, that, and the other. And then you go upstairs to the floor where Today FM and Spin 98 FM are. And it's like a human zoo. It's just like people running around the place, dressed up, laughing at each other, pulling pranks on each other. It's mental. It's like kind of like being back at school, like it's class. And there's so many big personalities naturally. It's such good fun. It's very intimidating to come into the first day ever. You're like, oh my God.
All these faces around the place, yeah.
Yeah, like once you settle in at this class, it's so fun.
I did a week of work experience years ago when I was in college. I don't know how many years ago that is now, a good few fucking years ago, but I did a week's work experience in Today FM, and petrified when I first went in. I was just doing like kind of little bits for their social media, writing a few blogs here and there, but like obviously I was only there for a week, but going in I was like, oh my God, like what am I doing here? But everyone was so lovely, like couldn't
They're
be more
nice
welcoming
people.
Yeah,
and I think as well, particularly in radio and media, people know how much work it takes to get somewhere, so they're really, really helpful, and they do everything they can to help you out and push you forward a little bit and say, because it's pretty much all about who you know and what you know, and people are very, very, particularly in Today FM, they're very, very helpful, and they'll always sit you down and say, right, this is what you should do next, or if you're having trouble with something, they'll sort it out for you.
Yeah,
so nice. Yeah, it's brilliant.
What advice would you give to someone who's looking for a career in media, anything media related?
Graft. Mm. Don't get disheartened. You're going to get a lot of no's. Mm. You're going to get a lot of non-responses to emails and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And just don't let it kind of, I suppose, dampen your spirits or put a bad taste in your mouth to be like, this isn't for me, I'm not good enough. Like, it's just that there are quite few jobs for a lot of people that want to be in it.
Yeah.
So you just need to graft and really, really work and practice on your skills and get better and better. Like, say, for example, if you want to be a print journalist, just write all mm-hmm. the time and keep looking back over it and maybe get someone to read it, even in your family or friends or whatever. And then for radio, listen to as much radio as you can, not just even Irish radio. UK radio is really good. Australian radio is really good.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure you listen to a lot of that and record demos if you can and just send them off and just ask for feedback. And just say, look, I'd love if you could take time to listen to this, or even ask, can you come in? And, I mean, obviously post pandemic, ask, can you come in and shadow a show for a week or this, that and the other? And just, you need to really be willing to put yourself out there,
yeah,
I suppose,
definitely,
is the main thing, which I was shocking at in the beginning. But you definitely get used to it. Mm. So just work hard and don't be disheartened by anything that anyone or anything that says no, because if you want it, you'll get it. So don't panic about it.
Unreal. Mm. Who would you say is your favourite person that you've worked with so far? Like, who do you kind of bounce off of the best? Is that a tough one?
It's too tough, I think. It's funny because you kind of get to, I suppose, 24, 25, 26, and you're probably like, okay, I probably have all the friends in my life that I'm ever going to have.
Mm-hmm.
I'll have work colleagues and this, that, and the other, but all my close friends I already have.
Yeah.
And that completely changed when I went into the FM. It's the first place I've been where they haven't just felt like colleagues, you know.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, yeah, and like my best friend, I was a girl called Alison who works there, and she does kind of the content and the social and stuff, and it's weird to think that I didn't know her 4 years ago and now we're obsessed with each other, you know.
Yeah.
So it's too difficult a question to ask. I mean, everyone serves different purposes, you know. I love working with Dermot and Dave because that's the Cardi B stuff, and we all bounce off each other when it's lighthearted.
Yeah.
I love working with Ian Dempsey because we're just worlds apart and he teaches me things and I teach him things.
Yeah.
Mario Rosenstock is a terrifying place to be, but unbelievable.
Yeah.
Because I sit beside him. So I'm sitting there just talking and I do my work, and he's beside me practicing the sketches, and you can hear all the voices coming out of my pit and myself laughing.
Yeah.
And he's just in the zone. He's unbelievable. Mairead Ronan is stunning. Like, everyone is just so, so lovely. So it's impossible to pin it down to one person.
Oh. Well, that's a good complaint.
It's a cop out of an answer, but it's true.
It's grand, I'll take it. Last question before I leave you. If you hadn't gotten into radio or media, I suppose, where would you be now? Was it always kind of that way?
I wanted to be an actor. And I wanted to do drama studies in Trinity after school.
Mm-hmm.
My parents were like, no, we're not sending you to pay for accommodation in Dublin for a career that you're probably never going to get a job out of. So I was like, that's pretty fair. So they're like, you can do theatre studies in Galway where you can live at home. And it was actually a really, really good degree because I did, it's a BA Connect. So I did my arts degree with theatre and then I did Irish and Spanish on the side as well. So it was a more useful degree I decided that acting wasn't for me.
Mm.
And I think more so that acting decided that it didn't like me because I wasn't very good at it.
Really?
So it's kind of, and maybe it was theatre acting, I don't know.
Okay.
And as much as I say that, you know, media is all about being willing to put yourself out there in the rejection, when it comes to acting, that's 10 times bigger.
I'd say, yeah.
Like, I'd say probably if I never even got to the point to go into auditions, but I'd say, if you get word from one in every 100 auditions, you're doing well. So it's just like, nah, the rejection of that would be too much for me. So I'd say I'd either be doing that, or I also wanted to be an obstetrician and gynecologist. Very random.
So
completely
random.
Different to what I'm doing now. But the only reason I didn't do it was because the HVAC came in the year before I did my leaving cert. And I was like, oh, that's too much effort. I'll just do something else. It's fine. So,
oh my God, that's so funny.
If the HPAD hadn't come in, I could be looking at fannies all day. But it did. So
that is actually good. What a fucking difference. Like, so either a gynecologist or maybe an actor. Whichever.
Yeah. Or, yeah. But like, whatever. You know.
Whatever.
Much, you know, I'd be on Grey's Anatomy.
Yeah.
than Grey's Anatomy.
Exactly.
Would have been a perfect
marriage of both. Join the two together.
I should have done it.
That is gas. Pamela, that's everything. And that's all my questions asked. Thank you so, so much for coming on. I really, really appreciate it.
It's been an absolute pleasure, Ashlyn. Thank you for having me.
And lovely to meet you.
I feel like I just talked and didn't hear anything from you. Thank you very much for having me.
Thank you so much. And
you're a little gem. Mwah. Bye.
So that is it for this week's episode. Lads, I always love the awkward goodbyes over a Zoom call. Like, they're always just weird. But sure, that's what I have to deal with. Do you know what I mean? I'm happy to have people on over Zoom. If I didn't have it, I'd be lost. So you're going to have to deal with the awkward goodbyes. If you want to check out Pamela's show, she's on Sunday, Thursday, 7 to 10, and you should be able to check it out online as well if you want to listen abroad. So yeah, thank you so much for listening, guys, and I will see you in the next episode. Bye.